So, over since 2000, and I got to turn this on, and 7, which is when Flatlanders first opened its doors, there have been 128 different people who have lived there, who have called it home over those years. 74 men, 54 women. That's about a 58% to 42% split difference there. Times someone has moved into Flatlanders. So you might think 128 people, but 137 times people have moved in. That's because 9 people have left and then gone, oh, I actually really need that place, right? And then have come back again, right? There's a clap from Morris. Or just have moved out prematurely or whatever the situation is and went, man, I need some help again in my life. I need some stability. And so they've moved back in. And so 137 people have moved in over the years, and 126 have moved out. So currently there's 11 people upstairs, just so you know. So 2, like I mentioned before, are the leadership team, Jeff and Amanda. And then 2 are their kids, Merrick and James. And then 7 others are transitional members who are upstairs at this point. So that works out to about moving in 10.5 people on average per year moving in, and 9.7 people on average per year moving out. So of those people, there's very varying different family situations. 65 people are individuals or single people. 10 were there as part of a couple. In other words, there's 5 couples. And 53 people were there as part of a family, which is a totaling of 14 families altogether, 29 of whom were kids. There was 29 kids in that. Who are the Flatlanders? And I mentioned before the different categories of people, but transitional adults, there's about 66 people, 66 people who are there on a transitional basis, which means they're at risk of homelessness and need some kind of help getting their feet back under them in some way, shape, or form. And that's a really broad thing. Probably most of us in this room have been at one point or another in need of that. And I would actually argue that we're all in need of some kind of support, some kind of community that comes around us. We don't all need to live together. Thank goodness. Do I hear an amen for that? But sometimes we do, actually. And I think in our kind of individualized, individualistic culture, probably more, we probably would do well to lean into it a little bit more. So anyways, that's the transitional people. 29 kids, like I mentioned, and 33 interns or leaders. And so that would be like people that are running the place, but also people that come to learn and also kind of contribute to helping run the place, but might not be like in leadership. Like Laura was an intern at first before she became a leader there as well. And so that's who the Flatlanders are. How long do people generally stay? Well, here's the detailed graph of exactly how long people generally stay. And so you can see there that 31 people were there for less than 6 months. 32 people were there under a year, between 6 months and a year. 30 people between 1 and 2 years. 7 between 2 and 3. 17 between 3 and 5 years. And then 11 people have lived there 5+ years. 2 people have lived there over 10 years. Any guesses who those 2 might be? No, I don't live there. Any guess who might? They're not 10+ years. Yeah, your family, right? Jeff and Amanda. Merrick, you have not lived there over 10 years because I'm pretty sure you're not 10 years old. Yeah. And James, yeah. So anyways, that's just a brief kind of overview, just to giving you a little bit of what actually are the numbers. But I want to invite Amanda up to kind of give a little bit of a sense of the heart of Flatlanders, and not just that, not just the heart of Flatlanders, but the heart, I think, of the kingdom. And this is where it actually impacts all of us. Yeah, that's totally fine. And there's an invitation to all of us here that I think that at least the ideals of Flatlanders and some of the ways that it kind of reaches the ground, not in every way, because it's like a community and there's people and there's the struggle and there's difficulty, but there's also moments of beauty as well. Real beauty, actually. Real deep beauty, and you're going to hear a little bit about that. But it has to do with embodying hospitality, embodying welcome, embodying care and openness and hard work and diligence and allowing the Spirit to form you through the crucible of community. Allowing the Holy Spirit to form you through the crucible of community. God's made us for community. He's made us to be in relationship with Him, but not just with Him, right? With each other. And somehow those two things, relationship with Him and relationship with each other, kind of, they work together. You can't separate them. And so I just want to say that I've seen Jeff and Amanda in particular, because I've been working with them for the last 10 plus years, 12 years really, since it started, as two people that really embody this stuff and live it out in a very particular way. Now, there's lots of ways to live it out, but in this way, I think they do a really great job. So I want to say that publicly to both of you guys in this moment as well. But can we just pray for Amanda? And she's gonna share with us. Can I pray for you? God, thanks for these ones. Thanks for the heart, the care, the diligence, the faithfulness, the love, the perspective. And we bless Amanda now. In Jesus' name, let your words be spoken to us. And we pray that, Holy Spirit, you would highlight the things that need to be paid attention to by each of us. Because there is something here for each of us. So help us, Lord. We ask for your grace. We ask for your mercy now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Andy and Becky were actually my school of justice leaders when I was 17. So we've known each other a little while. They've known me, maybe. Okay, we're going to look at Romans 12, 13, if you do the Bible thing and like to follow along. I don't have slides, not that fancy. I only do this maybe once a year. But Romans 12, I'm going to read from... I'm going to do the first paragraph and the fourth. I'm going to skip the second and the third because they're a separate sermon. They're for someone else to take on. I don't have time to give you an in-depth context of like Romans and who are the Romans and why would Paul talk to them and why did he say the things that he was going to say. I don't have time for that. We're going to keep it short so other people can talk too, but I think stuff like that's really important. Because it actually helps us understand what's going on in the Bible. But we're not going to do that today. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation at first, and then I'm going to actually read the last paragraph in a different one. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Verse 9, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I can't help but hear my dad when I read that. Never be lazy, but work hard. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. The New American Standard, which is what I'll kind of work out of, says this. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And that's where we're going to land, right there. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So I first landed on this scripture. I got a new job, part-time job, with the Mennonite Brethren Church of Manitoba. And one of the first things they asked me to do was to write a little blurb about myself for their assembly handbook. That's like this document that they keep forever that like has votes and stuff like that in it. And I was a little nervous. I grew up in the MB Church, so I was a little nervous because I had this like child opinion of who the MBs were still. And so I was a little bit nervous to kind of share part of myself with them so early in the relationship. But so I just said, like, well, what do you want me to say? They're like, oh, well, just be excited. Like, tell us what you're excited about in this role. Which I'm an administrator. That's what I do there. And I'm like, okay. Well, they're like, well, just like pick a scripture. Like, maybe there's like a scripture. And I mean, they wanted a scripture too, just for aesthetics, to look in the book if you saw it. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So I'm like, okay, I'll pick a scripture. So this is the one I landed on. And actually, when I read it, it really hit me, or it really speaks to what I care about and who I am, and definitely in that role, because contributing to the needs of the saints, well, that's what I'm doing. Like, the saints here, it's the church. That's what they mean. They don't mean, like, St. Francis and St. Vincent and other things like that. And in the first translation that I read, it says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. But for today, as I dug deeper into this, I realize that they're actually two different things, contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. At first glance, you think it's the same thing. I thought it was, anyways. But at first glance, that's what you think. You think it's just kind of repeating itself, but it's not. Contributing to the needs of the saints is us. It's the body of Christ. It's the church. But practicing hospitality actually is trying to say something different. So first of all, practice is a great word. I love that word. For me, it just means you just have to try. You might not get it right. Maybe next time you'll do better. And maybe you'll be great the first time. There's always that. I'm not sure if the Romans read that word in the same way, but I didn't look it up. Hospitality, though, the Greek word used in the Bible is this word called xenophilia. So xeno, meaning strangers, and philia, or philo, meaning love. So to show love to strangers. So in the first little bit, you have contributing to the needs of the church or each other. And then the second little bit is actually reaching outside of ourselves and showing love to others. Could really use some water. Didn't think about that. So it's both. They are similar, but really very different. Contribute to the church, thanks, and love strangers. Be there for each other. And love people you don't know. And really love. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Or don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Love each other with genuine affection. So in Flatlanders, because it is Flatlanders Sunday, we have lots of opportunities to practice this. Every time someone new moves in, they come in unknown. Like, we know them a little bit. We do an interview process, so we know a bit. But you never really know someone in an interview. Like, you're always putting your best self forward. So they come in, and they're not known. We don't know each other. The community doesn't know them. They don't know the community. And so we get to, if we do this even a little bit well, then maybe we start to become known. Maybe we know each other now enough that we no longer feel like strangers. Like, maybe now I know that you just need space in the morning. Now I know that you'd really prefer to cook than to do dishes. Like, that's kind of as known as we get at first, right? And maybe that's enough. But either way, we're not strangers anymore. And we don't feel that way, and we're more comfortable around each other. And suddenly, or not, or kind of silently even, this new person moves from this side, this practicing hospitality, to becoming part of the community. and becoming part of the saints or part of the church or however you want to categorize that. And so it kind of seems like a cycle, even. Because then when the next new person moves in, this person now gets the opportunity to practice that same hospitality that they received. And I think, let me find where I am here. I think that this translates to any context. It translates to school, to work, to friend groups, and certainly for the church. How we are received by others, by strangers, likely will affect how we then receive others. I don't think it's any secret that there would be strangers here among us. There are strangers among us. And that's not to say, it's not a scary thing. Although I think when I say there are strangers among us, it actually gives me a certain kind of feeling, because we have actually, something that's strange is generally looked at as negative. But it isn't here. It isn't here. So there's another word that you might be more familiar with, xenophobia. It was in the news. I don't know how much it's in the news anymore, but it's the fear of strangers. And we're more familiar with that, I think, than we are of this kind of hospitality. I was a stranger here once. We all were, for the most part. But this hospitality, this showing love to strangers and contributing to the needs of each other, or like recognizing what each other needs and just showing up, that's what I want to be known for. I want to be known for that. I want Flatlanders to be known for that. I want church to be known for that. I want followers of Jesus to be known for that. Because we haven't always been, and we aren't always. There are stories where we were not good at showing hospitality or contributing to each other's needs. I have these stories. Flatlanders has these stories. This church has these stories too. And they are hard to hear. And they're hard to be a part of. And everything in me wants to move past that point really quick. Talk about grace or forgiveness or something that absolves us or at least makes us feel better. But it's so important. It's so important to not run past the pain of others. And I think it's in those places and in those stories that we might learn the most. But here's the relief. We're not called to be great at this. We're asked to practice, to try, to be present to the people around us, the strangers amongst us, the needs in our communities of the people we already know. And as we practice, we will get better. I'm going to call Jeff up. I think he'll want to go first between the two of them. Between Jeff and Laura, by the way, not Jess. But everyone seems nervous. We're all just so nervous. We just like to be upstairs and not.
What am I talking on? So I was talking with Amanda a little bit just about the theme or whatever of hospitality, and reflecting on it in my own life outside of the context of Flatlanders, because not all of life is done in Flatlanders, and I suspect most of us here don't live at Flatlanders as well. So how does it translate? So I remembered. I used to work at the North End Family Center up the way, a community resource center, faith-based. And there's a gentleman there that I got to know largely because I had to confront him consistently about harassing the female staff. And so I got to be the heavy, tell him what he can and can't do in the space. And over time, I got to know him because he came in and harassed the staff often. And through that, I got to hear about his life, ask him how his day was, what's going on, and he talked about being a single father with a high needs kids and the day-to-day grind of just normal everyday life, and the regular experiences of trauma that his family has and continues to experience living here in the North End. And he's not somebody who professes to be a Christian. He belongs to another faith. And I remember one day he was just beside himself, and he just asked me, he's like, can you pray for me? And I was like, okay, yeah, I can. Like, are you okay with that, though? Because you're pretty adamant that you're not a Christian and you don't want anything to do with Christianity. And he said, yeah. So we just prayed. And thinking about hospitality in that way, it's opening yourself to somebody else and to be transformed by them, shaping you and you shaping them. And in that situation, I was the one. It was my place. It's my responsibility to make sure that the community was safe, all those sorts of things. Staff were taken care of. And in the process of it, got to know someone who was a problem, or perceivably as a problem, and hear the dignity and humanity of who they were. And not excusably, but some of the reasons behind their acting out or whatever you want to call it. So, is that adequate, Amanda? Okay.
It's wonderful. Thank you. Laura's next. I don't know. They're having a little... Okay.
Hi. Hi, I'm Laura. I don't have a story as Jeff did. I have thoughts. And in this season, I moved out in June. I don't remember. This is not good. Some time ago. And so I think walking back into the building, everything kind of floods. There's so much emotion. And I've really struggled. I've felt over the past few months of like, I need to collect all of my thoughts and figure out what I've learned, and then I can like move on. I don't know. I don't want to move on from this. But I've really struggled to figure out what to say today when I was asked. And there's something beautiful about listening to Jeff and Amanda. I was scribbling things during worship or the music, and then you spoke those words that I was scribbling down, and so I wrote that I came in, I walked through these doors as a complete stranger, and walked through those doors as someone who is just interested and an intern, and I was a stranger, and I was 19, I was a baby, I knew nothing, came from a small town into the North End. And Jeff and Amanda and Becky and Andy and so many other lives were just opened up to me. And when I think of hospitality, I think of what they have offered me over the past 7 years now. Because I was that stranger, and they opened their entire lives, their families up to me, and just welcomed me in to create home. And then taught me how to create home for other people as well. And I want to emphasize that I had no idea that this was going to be my home. I was going to be for 8 months, do the thing, and leave. And then I just couldn't, because it was home. And it was who I became, who I am, where I became who I am. And I'm just a normal person. I came, I ate breakfast, was annoyed that there was people in the kitchen when I was eating breakfast. What? other people exist in the morning? It's not Okay. I'm just normal and lived a normal life, but surrounded by people that I needed, that sometimes I wished I didn't need, but I did. And it was because of that extremely radical hospitality that's so normal that I became who I was and had a home. And I think that's what hospitality, I think that's what Jeff and Amanda have said, is making a home, making it safe to be who that person was enough, past those trouble moments that sometimes we focus on, but then allowing them to be safe enough to be themselves and allowing ourselves to be courageous enough to see that person and to love that person, because it's not easy, like Andy said, and it hurts sometimes, most of the time, actually. Yeah. And so I think this home was offered at Flatlanders in such tangible, practical life ways that looked like food and laughter and movies and dishes and small conversations and maybe small avoidances and always kind of sharing. And yeah, I don't know how to leave this, but I do want to say a huge thank you, because as we leave, as people, as I've watched over years, when people leave, we talk to them and tell them, ideally, we are able to say how much they meant to us. If people are leaving well, we can tell them how much they meant to us. And Jess and I have received that today. But the people who always stay behind don't get that. And you don't get to hear how much you're loved and the impact that they make. And so I get very, very emotional when I think of Jeff and Amanda and Andy and Becky and all those that are still there, that are still home to me and have helped me transition as I was a transitional member to life on my own, which feels weird. But I know that that love, that root back home, is not severed and that they're still behind me. And so before I just bawl in front of you, I'm going to leave. And I think Jess was going to say something. Yeah.
I was going to talk and then I wasn't going to, but Amanda said I would feel inspired, and I am, but this isn't planned at all, so I'm just going to talk. But I was reminded of when we moved into Flatlanders, it was a really practical decision for our family. We really believe in sharing resources. It seemed like a good move. We met Jeff and Amanda and Laura and everyone, and we liked the idea of moving into this community. And so we did. But before I moved into Flatlanders, I was a really big planner and preparer. And in order to have people over, our home had to look perfect, and I had to feel emotionally ready. And I can't tell you how many times I've canceled plans because I worked late and our place wasn't clean and I felt like no one should see it. And so I would just say I was busy. And my second or third day at Flatlanders, I was unpacking and Jess Williams knocked on our door. I wasn't actually unpacking, I was resting. And I felt like I had to justify what I was doing. And I was like, our place isn't clean yet, but I'm working on it. And she was like, oh, I don't care about that. Like, I'm just wondering how you're doing. How are you fitting? Like, how are you feeling? How's the process going for you? And I guess I didn't really notice a shift while I was living at Flatlanders. But when we moved out, we moved a month ago into a new place, and I just immediately invited all my friends over. And a couple of weeks after we had moved in, a family member came over, and she said, like, are you gonna, like, have people over, have a housewarming party? And I said, I don't know, I feel like everyone's already been here. And she said, everyone's been here? Like, sitting on your boxes and on your floor and, you know, in this mess? And I didn't notice or even think of it that, of course, people should come over and I should be with them, and that's what's really important. And I think that that's kind of the lifelong lesson of Flatlanders for me, is all of those moments that kind of hit you before you're ready. So you come home from work and you've had a great day and you can share it with people. You come home, you've had a terrible day, you have to share it with five people before you walk in your own door. But it's a really good lesson to open up a little bit and be a little bit vulnerable, and that people don't really care if your place looks perfect or if you're 100% ready. It's the relationships that are really important. So that was my inspiration from what you were sharing, Amanda.
Thank you.
I don't have a bow to tie all this up with. That's okay, right? That's what we're learning. People change. We change each other, and when we live together, it just happens like exponentially faster. Or you get out, one or the other, and both happen, and that's okay. Like you don't. It's not everyone wants to do something like this, and it's hard. And it's been a long time for Jeff and I remember myself 10 years ago, and I was an avoidant, don't eat my cheese person. And it's changed me because I just had to so I could be happy. But I mean, that's just growing up too, probably. So maybe I'll just pray. Is that okay? Is there anything else? Does anyone want to say anything? Open mic. Okay, I'll pray. God, thank you for this place, for this Flatlanders. Thank you for all the 100 and some people that have come through the doors. Thank you for a church that's let us live upstairs. And thank you for the stories that inspire us to look differently at the way we live, or look differently at the way we think, that move us to learn how to love with genuine affection, without hypocrisy. We're not good at that, but we try, we're trying, we're practicing. Would you call us to something more in our lives, or strengthen and firm up what we already know to be true for ourselves? And would you go with us as we leave here today with maybe just a reminder of what hospitality and contributing to each other's needs are, or maybe a new way of thinking? Thank you, God. Amen.